While you're finding those places, I'll say a few words, and I'm going to read two or three other places in the Word of God while you find your place to Exodus chapter 29. We're very, very fortunate, as we've already said, to live in the United States of America. I mean, really, where else would you want to live? Ecuador, I just heard a statement by a man that he's just retired out of the oil business in Texas, and him and his wife are moving to Ecuador. And they asked him, did he have relatives there? And he said, they said, is it you've got relatives there, or that's just where you want to live? And he said, I've always wanted to live in Ecuador. So they're leaving America to live in Ecuador. That's their business. I don't have no plans going nowhere. I mean, I'm happy to be an American. And happy birthday, America, again. Amen. Amen. As I said just a moment ago, as far as the truth is concerned, we're very, very fortunate to be able to for me to stand here today and to speak to you how easy it is when you got 5 million notes and you don't know where to begin. You have to talk a minute. Okay, I know where we're going, okay? I know where we're going. By the way, I'm not going to take my own sweet time to talk as long as I need to, like the senator from Georgia did, or the representative in the beautiful new bill. He took 5 hours or more to hold up the progress there. And he said, I'm going to take my own sweet time. Wow. So I just thought I would mention that. I just went out. I'm not out. I'm out. I think I'm back, ain't I? Can I hear myself? Oh, you can very easily get even people that are raised with truth. And these kids right here, your kids, at the house of God, they need to be exposed to the truth. It's so easy for the truth to get discarded or covered up or hidden or reinvented. And you can't change the truth of it. And they'll hear from the Word of God here, and they need to hear it in their homes too, with Christian parents. I know parents that are not living a Christian life that are getting the gospel to their kids in their homes, and I appreciate that. But they need to be in church too. But when you're speaking, or when you're in a situation, it's very easy to misrepresent the truth. And you can get all tied up in it and not get a chance to really explain yourself. So when this baby was born, Andrew Ty Smith, Hannah and I left Andrea's and we went to Rome. And on the way up there, you know, me and Hannah in my little car, and we got to Cedar Bluff, and there was about 30 blue lights right there before you could cross the bridge. And that's the way I go to Rome from the house. So I said, well, what's going on? There must be some bandit out there or something. So when we got up there and stopped, a man come over to the Hannah sighed, and my window don't work good, so I said, open the door. And Hannah's going to have a baby in October, and it's not something she can hide. So he's bending down, looking in my car at me, because she's there, and he's looking down. And I said, what's going on? He said, it's going to be 45 minutes. We're doing fireworks over the water. Got the whole place closed for over an hour. It'd be 45 minutes. I said, we're having a baby. He took off. He come back with two or three more people. Said, we can get an ambulance here. We can, whatever you need. I said, I ain't got time. And I made a U-turn, took off, and went up 411 through Cave Springs. And I left them guys thinking that Hannah was about to have a baby. I said, Hannah, I'm sort of convicted. I said, I didn't mean for that to happen, but I ain't going to waste no time. Them get ambulance here. And I said, Hannah, here's the plan. I said, I put my flashers on. I took off. I said, the trooper stops us. I said, when he comes up to me on my side, I'm going to say, we're having a baby, and you scream. So, hey, I'm going to take off. So, you see how easy the truth can be all messed up. I'm glad I was raised for the gospel. My daddy would read the Bible in our home. The Dalai Lama, you know him. Everybody knows him from Tibet. He's anticipating passing on. I don't know how old he is. He's an older man. And it's mixed up with Tibet and with China on who's going to be the new Dalai Lama. A religious leader that's very influential for millions of people. And his idea is he's going to be reincarnated. And he's going to come back as the new Dalai Lama. And he can even maybe insinuate along the line who that's going to be. But China disagrees with all that. Now, I could be sitting there laying down, or what do they do, kneeling down, doing all that in front of the Dalai Lama today. But because of the truth, I'm not. And there's something really... in World War I, the early 1900s, there's witch doctors. They're still in Mexico. I'm not sure where all. They're probably still in Africa, but at that time, witch doctors were in Africa. And when a woman had twins, they were considered evil, and they killed both the twins, and a lot of times they killed the mother when she had twins. The reason... 80 to 85% of all babies died, whether they were twins or not, was that they thought breast milk was poison till the ninth day. The first 8 days, the mamas would go soak filthy rags in a dirty river and let the babies chew on them. Ignorance. And when the American missionaries came, the men were there, and the women went to the men, and they asked the missionary to send what they called a Christian sister to help them, to teach them about health. Wow. You know, our ladies meet down here on Sunday. I thought about how they have their time together to share and to pray and to talk to one another. That's very, very important. And to get the truth. And it says, let the older teach the younger. That's what it says. So if you're the younger, you're being taught. And if you're the older, it's your responsibility to teach. That's not to get up and preach the Bible. That's to talk about life. And that's to talk about the Christian life and to share with one another. And so ain't it good that we're not living in a land where if you had twins that they'd be put to death, and sometimes the mama or women were reluctant to breastfeed because they thought the milk was poison for the first 8 or 9 days. My, I'm so glad that we have the truth. Now, we are responsible, as that young lady that Kathy and I met last night that says, I believe I'm a messenger. She said, I believe God wants me to be a messenger. I said, you're right on it. And all of us that know the Lord are messengers and representatives of God and of Jesus and of heaven and hope that people can know the Lord. And I just pray and hope that we will assume that responsibility. In the Word of God, in Revelation, there's a word that we're going to pick up on, and this word is priest. And you can just bear with me just a minute and listen to the Word of God very carefully. In the millennial kingdom, the people that were martyred in the tribulation are going to be resurrected, and we are too, of course. We know that in the rapture. But here's what it says about these people that have died in the tribulation and are resurrected. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be what? They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I've been wondering, the 1,000-year reign, the martyrs of the tribulation period that have endured to the end, not to be saved spiritually, because they're already saved, but they endured to the end, and they loved not their lives unto death. And they've died during the tribulation or lived through it or whatever. They're going to be priests with God and with Jesus Christ. Priest. What is a priest? It's not somebody walking around in grandma's house coat with her bonnet on, holding a cigarette burning on the end of a stick. In the other hand, a cup of water that's considered to be holy water. It's a representative of God. The priest is. Man or woman, whoever saved is a representative of God in everything that he holds to his truth. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. So, what about the church? In Revelation 5:10, and he hath made us, unto us, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. He's made unto us kings. We're kings. I ain't never really even thought about being a king. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even think Donald Trump's thought about being a king. But there's some people, apparently, that want him to be king. He's the president, right? If he was the king, he would have still be in Washington, D.C. and never been voted out. Right. But the king thing is beyond me, let alone the priest thing, but he said, we're going to reign, be kings and priests with God on this earth for 1,000 years. That's the church. Chapter 1, 4 through 6. John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness of the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, amen, and hath made us what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So here's thought. Here's the chronological time frame of it. You've got at the end of Revelation, you've got the tribulation saints that martyred to be priests. And then he says a future tense for us, and we shall, as the church, rule and reign with him. And we'll be priests on this earth for 1,000 years, kings and priests. And here he says this, present tense, and hath made us kings and priests unto God right now. Now, not then. And if we can get in touch with now a little better, it's going to be a lot better on us then. Amen? A lot better. Peter said it this way. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And he adds something to that. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Priest unto God. The responsibility of the believer. In the cardinal doctrines of Baptist doctrine, which is just Bible doctrine, there's something called the priesthood of the believer. We do not have a human being on earth that represents God solely. We have all the church. All the church represents God. Not one man. We don't have an intercessor for us other than the man Christ Jesus. One man, Christ Jesus, stands between us and God, and we have the responsibility to assume the priesthood of what the ancient founders and the fathers developed in the doctrines of Scripture, which is called the priesthood of the believer. Man, woman, boy, girl, it doesn't matter. All of us have the priesthood of the being believing Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. In the home, there's something that's termed in theology is called the priest in the home. And that's the daddy. That's the husband. And I'm afraid that a lot of times us dads and husbands have shirked our responsibility on representing God in the home. We've let organized religion assume the responsibilities that we've negated and neglected. I mean, I'm for Sunday school for kids. I'm for teaching them everything we can in church. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a movement, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but there is a movement that has begun somewhere, somehow, of starting, instead of going to men to reach them for Christ, they go to kids. And kids are the most easily manipulated and convinced in their innocency to believe anything you tell them and to accept anything you want to give them and be misled about what it means to know Jesus Christ as Savior. No conviction, having a party, building a church on kids. God did not design it this way. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said, he will add to the church daily such as God, such as should be saved. So it's easy to grow a church with a fleshful, humanistic program. You remember the Freedom Rally. I'll never forget it. I mean, do you realize? I mean, I ain't gonna say what effort I put in. But I'm going to tell you, from about March until October was over with, and then the relief, I'm thinking, will I ever be the same again? I want to be normal again. I mean, you probably can't understand what I'm trying to say. And I said, what next, God? And he said, well, I'll let you know. Somebody's been calling me. Hey, what about they're calling it the God and Country Rally. I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, I just, but I'm going to tell you what, that was a lot of that, the people that was here, okay, they came because, you know, it, God bless that, but there was work involved, and I'll never, there'll be nobody ever convinced me that it wasn't what God wanted, because it was. But the thing about putting something like that into the church to build a church is wrong. The church is a spiritual and holy place, and we're holy. We should be holy priests. The first time that's mentioned in the scriptures I've just read, a holy priesthood, that means we're separated and distinctively viewed from anything else in the world. Somebody that represents God. What an awesome responsibility we have. Now, in Exodus, where we'll stay for just a few moments. In Exodus, ye also are an holy priesthood, in 1 Peter 2:5, a holy priesthood. The word holy. In Exodus chapter 29, God was establishing the priesthood, which is no more. The Mosaic priesthood is a thing of the past. It represented the law and everything about the law. And God chose one man and his sons to carry on the priesthood under the Mosaic economy. And that man's name was Aaron. He was Moses' older brother. And the Bible says in Exodus, let's look in 28 verse 43, and they shall be upon Aaron and his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation. He's talking about their attire. He's talking about the attire, the way they present themselves physically with all those robes and all this stuff. They shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they may bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute for them forever, unto him and his seed after it. They had to be dressed just right and covered just right with all of those artifacts, all those clothes, from the top of their head to their feet. They had to have everything that God said they had to wear. And it had to be right in place before they could enter that holy place, or they'd die. That's how important it was to you, that we're looking at external holiness here. We're looking at an external to meet the demands of the law. External holiness. And I hear people always say, well, it don't really matter about the outside. It matters what you believe in your heart. Okay. All right. Well, you're going to have to believe what you want to believe. But external manifestation of holiness is very, very important. I just read, and I won't take time to turn, where it says they had to have breeches on. I believe every man ought to have breeches on. You know what? It was for modesty. They had to climb up some stairs sometimes in a temple, especially, and back and forth. It's for modesty. It was very important that they have an external display of what was in their heart. And I'll tell you this much, friends. If it's in your heart, it'll show on the outside. I've never seen so much people that they apparently have no shame whatsoever in the way they present themselves externally in this world. I've never seen it. You used to could be in a crowd and pick out a Christian. It's mixed now. Hard to find one. If I ever see anybody dress right, and I do, and I said this recently, in a Simpson boy, Chris Simpson, I was up in town, Fort Payne, and I was in a public place, and I saw some people, and I spoke to them. It was a woman and her children, and I said, "It's good to see some Christians." And she said, "You know, thank you." And we talked, and I found out her husband and Blake were in Bible school together over at Resaca, and they just live up in Mentone. And but you know what I'm talking about? You know, I don't have to tell you. I remember when Kyle Miller, he preached here. He's a good friend of mine. Kyle Miller preached, and my kids used to couldn't remember how to say his name, so they call him Cod Liver. And then Kendall McCracken is another friend of ours. Brother Gene, he's from up in North Georgia, up in there. He's up above LJ, up in there, way on up there around above Blairsville. McCracken, you've probably heard that name before. That's a strange name. There's some strange names coming out of Georgia. But McCracken. But Kendall McCracken and Chickwick McChicken, that's what the boys, I said, "Don't call him that." I said, "We can't remember his name." Lord help us. God help us. But you can see holiness, okay? You can see it. You can see holiness. You can, I believe you can feel holiness. What does it mean when it talks about how that our spirit testifies to the spirit, to one another? It's just like a relationship, like you've never even known them before, but just all of a sudden you've got this harmony and connection through the Spirit of God and holiness. Now here, let me just read a little more, and I'm going to be done. And this is the thing, verse 1, 29, verse 1. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them." Okay, hey, listen. They've already got the suit on. Not good enough. They got to get hallowed. Now, I'm going to do a play on words. You got to get hollow before you can be hallowed. You got to empty yourself of the things of this world and your fleshful desires before God can fill you with the Spirit of God. God just don't start pouring the Spirit on you till everything's washed out. You've got to give everything to God and say, "God, I'm tired of this. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God." And he said, the Lord said, Jesus said, "No man will say to his son, if he wants a snake or whatever, a rock or a piece of bread, he'll give him a rock." And he said, God is the same way. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. And what it really, there's a play on words there too. So you got to give yourself to God before you can be filled with the Spirit of God. You got to give yourself. I gotta move along. He said, "This is the thing that thou shalt do unto them, to hallow them." That's to make them holy. That's to make them presentable to God. It's not good enough. After all I've said about the way we should dress, I want you to understand that's not good enough. That'll turn somebody into a Pharisee that thinks that they're better than everybody else because they're presentable on the outside. And they can be mean as the devil on the inside. Is everybody listening? I mean, I ain't getting much feedback. Act like you're at the cattle sale. "Hey, here, I'll take two." "Who minister unto me in the priest office, take one young bullock and two rams without blemish." You know what a ram is? Big lamb. Hey, I got a thought here that I may preach sometimes when the lamb becomes the ram. Do you know Jesus is going to, the Lamb of God is going to stand in Revelation with his, he's going to have his and his girdle, his thing that holds his sword and all, it's going to be pulled up to his breast, and he's going to be dipped in blood. And I want to tell you what, you don't see many lambs. I mean, he's called the Lamb, but you know what I mean? He's a grown man now. He's taking care of business. Amen. Treading down the winepress. Amen. Mighty men of valor. God, our King, our Savior, our Lord. Thank the Lord. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes, and unleavened tempered with oil and wafers, unleavened anointed with oil of wheat. Flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them into the basket, and the bullock with the bullock, and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. Wash who? Aaron and his sons. There's some dispute. They say they're going to wash them. How do you wash bread? Okay. Wash them. We're talking about getting clean. When you get saved, when a person gets saved, he's clean. He's totally clean, squeaky clean. But after he's been saved a while, so the idea is here, you know, wash them, and the whole type of it is people that are priests of God have to be saved. People that just go through the motions. I want to show you something here, chapter 29, verse 4. I'm sorry, chapter 30, verse 19. Here's the priest again. First of all, he said, and wash them with water. See, let's read verse 4 again, chapter 29. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. You're not going any further. You're not getting in the door. You're not getting into that holy place unless you've been washed. You're not getting into heaven unless you've been washed. I mean, washed. I mean, a bath. In what? The blood of Jesus. Washed clean. Now, I want you to look in chapter 30, verse 19. Wait, let's look in verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. And Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet therewith. Done been washed. Done been washed everywhere. Right there to begin with. And now they're washing their hands and feet. There's two words in the Greek language for wash. One is lutreo, one trio, lutreo, whatever. One means to do what some of you would never admit doing when you was growing up because the water was froze. And if you wanted to be presentable, you'd saw some of that water out and get you a rag and take a sponge bath. Do the best to wash yourself up. You've never been there, but I have. Some of you have too. Forgot how we was raised. When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, the two Greek words are used here. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, except I wash your feet, except I wash you, you ain't gonna have no part with me. And Peter said, wash all of it. Give me a bath. There's the initial thing. First thing that they will wash at the door. And that's a picture of us being saved. And the second thing is when they wash their feet and their hands. Was confession of sin on a daily basis to you and I. How long has it been since you washed your hands? How long has it been since you washed your hands? Spiritually. If we confess our sins He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're in the world, right? But not of the world. We walk through the world. I know you can go to a hog pen with a suit on, deodorant on, everything, dressed clean. You can just go stand beside a hog pen and come back home. You'll smell like a hog.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got to get it. Daily. And you don't have to come to Father Roger. I ain't your father. Not playing no beer. Grandpa Butler for cleansing. You go to Jesus.
That's right.
And you confess your sins to Him. And if you walk through the world, you're going to get your feet dirty. There's no way out of it. If you walk through the world, you walk out here, you're going to think something wrong. You're going to see something that's lustful to you, and you're going to think about it, and you've sinned in your heart when you do that. That needs to be confessed immediately. Not till you get back home. Decide, well, let me see now. I got to check them all off. You better get them as they go, buddy. That's what you better do.
That's right.
Or you're going to wind up with some filth on your feet and in your heart. Confession. Confession. Agreeing with God that you sin. So qualifications to be a good representative of God, you got to be clean. We got to be clean. 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 I believe it to be true. When I was working in the business, we had our office over on 400 Interstate Northway Parkway in Marietta. And we had conferences from time to time at big grand hotel things, some of the best coffee. They got that Royal Cup coffee. Why don't we buy some? I don't drink coffee. I forgot about that. Makes me want to start drinking coffee again. Royal Cup coffee, that's the best there is. Probably the most expensive, I don't know. But there was this big motel that we stayed in. And do you know what the people at that motel said? They said, we had a big conference here last week of leaders. And they said, we had more pay-per-view TV on bad films than we've ever had. And it was a religious group of church leaders. Lord, help us. If that's what's going on through the pulpit, God, help us. We've got to be clean. You got to be clean to go to heaven. Washed. Peter said, wash all of me, or I'll be able to have a part with you. But just washing their feet to show the idea that you walk in the world. I'm going to tell you how crazy things has got. Do you understand there's something that's called fettuccine that there's preachers preaching that women shouldn't wear sandals because men are attracted to feet. I mean, how far are they going to go? I mean, how far are they going to go? But we got to be clean. We got to be presentable. Amen? We're not going to have no... Hey, you want to be a priest? You want to get somewhere in heaven? It might just be, if you ain't a good priest on earth, that you're not going to be a king when you get to heaven. With a little K, okay? Don't you want to be clean? You remember how clean you were when you first got saved? Man, never going to sin again. I'm clean. I don't know how long, but somewhere along the line, me and you both realized that we wasn't exactly what we thought we were. You know, we had to get back and get cleaned up again. Get back on the trail, headed in the right direction. Now, this first, there's three sacrifices that are given. There's three sacrifices that they had to make to be consecrated for the priesthood. That is, to be ready to go out there and get the job done. See, first of all, you got to be clean. You got to be saved to be to represent God. And then you got to be clean, confessed up. And that's still not good enough. Or you'll be going around telling about how perfect you are. So you got to be clean, clean, cleansed. And then you got to live a clean life. But that's not good enough. You got to be consecrated. And that's to be filled with God. And let God just have it all. Just give it all to Him. And you're still going to have to confess. Let's stand. I've been long enough. Hopefully we're going to get into three offerings later that bring us to consecration. Father, Lord, I speak for myself, but you know me. And Lord, you know that I'm unworthy to stand up here today. But because you've appointed me, Lord, to be in this place, Lord, I accept it, and Father, I acknowledge my how sinful I am. And Lord, I confess continually, and Lord, help me to never grow hardened, and help me to grow always, Lord, to just be willing to pick up and carry on again, and forgive us of every sin and iniquity. Help us to be close to you. May the power of God be in this church again. Lord, may a good witness be from this church and every member here. And Lord, help those, Father, that may be struggling for some reason today. I pray that you'll, Lord, just help them to find peace with you and whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while she plays, if you need to pray, you come on right now.